Ha'elich v'karosi lach isha me'nachas min ha'ivriyos. Miriam says to the Bas Parai that I could go find you a woman to nurse him min ha'ivriyos. The Gemara in Sefer Daf Yud Beis says that this emphasis on min ha'ivriyos from the Hebrew women, milamed, it teaches us she'herzirai Bas Parai al kol ha'mitzriyos, that Bas Parai had already been working on trying to find him somebody to nurse him, and he refused to nurse for many of the non-Jewish women. Gemara says, "Pes she'osel adaber ha'shechina," the mouth that is destined to speak with the Shechina can't nurse from a mitzri, isha mitzris. And the Gemara connects it to the pasuk in Yeshaya where it says, "Lemi yeridei lemi yavin Shmuel gemulei mechalav atikei mishadayim." That to whom could you teach Torah and wisdom? Only to one who is separated from nursing. The summary reading of the pasuk is it's describing how it's going to be a time that there's nobody to teach Torah to. You're going to have to teach Torah to the babies right off after they finish nursing. But b'derech medrash, the Gemara darshins that it refers to Moshe Rabbeinu who refused to nurse from the Nashim Mitzriyei. So that describes him as the Gemulei Mechal Vatikei Mishadayim. So that's Lemiyei Redei Lemiyei Yavin Shmua.
I mean, he was a small baby.
Right. He's a newborn. He was 3 months old.
Right. So
three
he months old. To refuse.
And you know, it's interesting. In our Gemara, it says Amar Pesh Asla Davar Mashchina. But there's another gears in the Gemara that Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. That it doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu decided not to nurse him. The Kadosh Baruch Hu made a nace, but somehow it was orchestrated that he wouldn't nurse because Pesha Asla Davar Mashchina.
Wouldn't nurse for the Egyptian women.
Shouldn't nurse from the Egyptian women, and it connects it to this pasuk in Yeshaya, which incidentally the pasuk is in the Haftarah that we read. The pasuk of Habarim Yashar Shakov, that's the haftarah that we read for Parsha Shemais. This pasuk of Lemi Yerdei Lemi Avin Shmuel Gmulei Mechal Vatigim Shadayim is found in that haftarah, which is interesting because the haftarah is a little bit of a harder one than usual to figure out what its connection is with the parsha. Usually it's pretty easy to see what the connection is with the parsha. Over here, there is a reference to Mitzrayim. It's not really clear what the connection is between this haftarah and the parasha. But this pasuk, the Gemara in Sefer David Beis makes a medrash on this pasuk of Lemi Yeridei Lemi Yavin Shmua, and that refers to the story of Moshe Rabbeinu as a baby that he refused to nurse from the Nashim Mitzuyais. And anyway, what's the halacha of on this matter? Are you allowed to have a baby nurse from a isha mitzvah, a isha avedes kachavim? Nowadays, it's not really such a relevant issue, but that's really only in the modern world. Nowadays, that there's very good, sophisticated, high-tech formulas, so any mother that's unable or isn't interested in nursing her baby can give the baby formula and they're fine. Once upon a time, it was a major issue. Not, you know, a woman generally nursed her baby, but not every woman was able to. And then you had to hire somebody to nurse your baby. And if you're going and hiring somebody to nurse your baby, so we had to know, does it have to be a Jewish woman? Is it allowed to be a non-Jewish woman? So the Rishonim discussed this in the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. The Gemara over there, it's a big sugya for a different reason. The Gemara over there is talking about a much bigger, broader issue. And that is it okay for children to do things that are usher in Atayra? If a child is not bar mitzvah is eating nevela, that's one example in the Gemara, is being machal Shabbos, is doing any sort of aveira, is it the responsibility of the people around to stop him? Okay. Now, so there's a mitzvah chinuch that definitely comes into the discussion. That's true. The Gemara over there doesn't mention the mitzvah chinuch. The bottom line from that Gemara, or at least the way it's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch from that Gemara, this is as an aside, in Hilchos Shabbos Siman Shin Dalet Mem, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that really we Paskin Katan Echon Avelis Ein Beis Mitzvah and Lefrishay. Beis Mitzvah does not have to stop him, but there's two important caveats. One is that the father is different. The father does have to stop his children from doing Averis. And the other important caveat is that even when you don't have to stop a child from doing an aveira, but la'achile b'yadayim aser, you're not allowed to feed it to him, to set him up to do the aveira, to instruct him or make him to enable him. Nabal might be a little bit, might be going a little bit too far, but there is an issur b'la'achili b'yadayim. That's the bottom line. But the Gemara has a discussion. I want to come back to the Shach Vatari of the Gemara.
Isn't the fact that Rashi says that, or whoever said that it was a naze, so lechayr it sounds like it was mutter to do it.
That's a very good dig from that Gemara. We're going to see the Rashi makes this dig. We're going to see that in a moment. So after the Gemara, I was just telling you the bottom line in Shulchan Aruch, but in the Gemara there's a machlekes about it. Katan Rechon Avelis Basin is mitzvah lafrisha, is not mitzvah lafrisha, and then there's a shakta v'tayir tashama. You know, the Gemara will bring a brisa, another brisa where it seems to indicate one way or the other, and the Gemara will try to shlug up the raya. So the Gemara brings a brisa where it says that tinoik yoinik tinoik v'hilech mi isha nachris umi behema temeya. This is brought into the discussion of what do you do when a child is doing an aveira. And the Gemara says, look, it says in this braisa that he could be nursing from a non-Jewish woman or from a behemoth tameh, from a pig, and you don't have to stop him. So you see a raya that katan reichel nevelis ein beis mitzuvin lafrishay, and the Gemara slugs up the raya that over there is because it's a pekuach nefesh. A child needs to be able to nurse from somewhere if the child doesn't get milk, if the child can't live, so mishum zakaras lafasher shani. So the Gemara over there, so that's two steps in the Gemara, right? The Gemara brings a raya and shlugs up the raya. But from both steps in the Gemara seems to be dealing with this as a maisa aveira. The Gemara brings a braisa where it says that a child is allowed to do this maisa aveira. Oh, so you see, you don't have to stop a child who's doing maisa aveira. The Gemara answers that over there, you don't have to stop him because it's a pikuach nefesh, but maybe otherwise you would have to stop him. But the answer never disputed the fact that this is a Ma'is Aveira. What the Bryce was describing of Yainik Tinaik Me'isha Nachres Me'behema Temeya, it seems to be describing the Gemara as a Ma'is Aveira. So the Rishonim bring down that the Rashba brings down that the earlier Rishonim Rabbeinu Hananel had brought a raya from this Gemara that the breast milk of a non-Jewish woman is Macholas Asuris, is Aser, just like from a Behema Temeya. The Rashba, so that's the first opinion, that's the opinion of Rabbi Hananel. But the Rashba pushes back. He says, you don't really have a raya from the Gemara. The Gemara brought this braisa as a raya that you don't have to stop children from doing a ma'is aveira. So clearly the braisa is describing a ma'is aveira, but the braisa mentioned two cases. The braisa talked about me'isha nachres umi behema temeya. So the raya that the Gemara was bringing may have been from the behema temeya part. So you don't necessarily see anything from this braisa about what's the din of being yoinik from an isha nachres. What should be the din of being yoinik from an isha nachres? So he brings two arguments. So the first thing that he says is what you just said a moment ago, that this Gemara in Saita says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't nurse from the isha nachres because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that a peh she'asa ledabra mashchina needs special protection. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't tell you, he brought about that he shouldn't nurse from the isha nachres because it's asal dabra mashchina. But that sounds like me'ikra din. It's mutter. That it's not a real event. It doesn't say that because Baruch Hu said that since this is asr, I'm going to protect him from the aveira. It says pesha asal dabra mashchina, so it's not appropriate. It sounds like it's some non-halachic, let's call it, you know, extra halachic, some seguladika inyan maybe that would make it better not to. So the Maestro Rabbeinu, because Rebbe didn't want it to happen, but it's not really a Maestro Aveira. And then furthermore, the Rashba says, another argument against the Rebbeinu Hananel, he says, what should determine whether milk is mutter or asr? We know the milk of a cow is mutter, the milk of a pig is asr. Why? Because a cow is mutter and a pig is asr. As the Gemara in Bukhari says that the rule is that a yaitse min ha-tameh is tameh and a yaitse min ha-tahar is tahar. So the status of the milk should always follow the status of the mother. So now we get into a little bit of a surprising question. What's the status of the mother? Is the mother considered a behema tameh, a behema tahira? So the Rashba says, now the Rashba over here doesn't, this is again, Yivamas Tukuf Yidalad, over here doesn't get involved in the question. But he says, but one thing's for sure, it shouldn't make a difference whether she's Jewish or not Jewish.
But we don't need people.
We don't need people. So what would we say about that question? What would we say about that question? So that question, okay, I was going to come into it in a moment, but that question of how do you view a human being in the parsha of Behemet Tamei, Behemet Tahira? It's not Maligera, right? A person doesn't chew its cud. So it's also not Mephistos Parsa.
It's irrelevant.
So the sugi really is in Ksubas. Ksubas Daf Samach. The Gemara over there darshans from a pasuk, from the extra pasuk, extra word in the parsha of Behemoth Tameis, Chayis Tameis. We learn from there that the dam and the cholov of Mahal Cheshtayim, is the way the Gemara describes human beings, Mahal Cheshtayim is mutter. The Gemara over there is not talking about the basar. The Gemara is talking about the dam and the chol. Now, obviously, I mean, the basar is not really a relevant question. We would, right? That's cannibalism. Nobody would do that. But the chalav is very relevant. And, I mean, that's an actual food item. Dam, you think shouldn't be so relevant, but I'll tell you in a moment where it's relevant. The Gemara says that we learn from a pasuk that the dam and the chalav of Mahal Cheshtayim is mutter. Midaraisa, it's mutter. The dam becomes negeya, even, you know, halacha lamaisa, in two very, very common situations. One is if somebody's bleeding in his mouth. If somebody's mouth is bleeding, let's, you know, you just had dental work, whatever, and you have blood coming out. Do you have to be makpe not to swallow that blood? It's one shayla. Another shayla, let's say, you know, sometimes if your gums are a little bit weak and you bite into something hard, like an apple, you'll see a little bit of blood on the apple. Are you then allowed to take the next bite? So interestingly, those two questions have different answers. Midereisa, the dam is mutter. But you ask, well, you know, why would this ever be negeya? Who would want to eat the, you know, dam? So here are two situations where it's negeya. And the Gemara says that there's a difference between dam shepiresh and dam shalei piresh. If it's loy piresh, then it's mutter. Lashon of the Gemara, something to the effect of ve'in oimim loy piresh. We don't even encourage, we don't even discourage it. It's fine, no problem. If somebody's bleeding in his mouth, you're allowed to swallow. You don't have to try to...
So
pH means, but if it's already removed from the person, then it's also midrabanan because of myrasayan, because there's blood on an apple, and if somebody looks at that apple, you can't really tell if it's the person's blood or the blood of an animal, since that could be the blood of an animal. So there's an isadrabanan mishamarasayan. Because it's only mishamarasayan, it's interesting. There's no, it doesn't aser in a taruvis. So. I remember one time somebody came. I remember I was a bacher in yeshiva, and somebody came over to my chavrusa, was a poisek in yeshiva, and he said his wife just called him up, and she was making hamantashen for shalach manis, and she cut her finger with a knife, and so she bled a little bit till she was able to stop the bleeding, and the blood got into the dough. Does she have to throw out that dough? So he said, no, you should just remove, you know, any place where it's nicker, you should remove, and then the dough is mutter. So that Purim, that person's friends, all the other friends got apricot hamantashen, but my chavrusa got cherry hamantashen.
It's interesting because in animal blood is also right. We do everything. We go to extreme length.
Right,
absolutely. Right. But a person which is also achila, you can say that really if it's
Don't get to the question of achila yet. The Gemara is talking about the dam and the chalav. And again, the Gemara says that we learn from a pasuk that those are mutter. So the they're mutter, but there's an issue with rabbanon if it's piresh. The Gemara says, that's with the dam. Chalav, also we learn from the pasuk that it's mutter. And what's the halacha midrabanan? Is there an iser?
He probably took the
following. So.
Oh,
your wife, exactly.
So over there, the Gemara says the opposite. Chilak. The Gemara says, v'chilufa b'chalav. That it's mutter if it's piresh, meaning to, if there's, a mother's milk, human breast milk in a cup, that's mutter for anyone to drink. But to nurse directly is only mutter for a baby. How do we define a baby? Until the baby stopped. Once the baby stopped, and then to go back, that's not allowed. But again, but if it's pirish, if it's in a cup, then it's mutter. So the so that means both by the cholov and the dam, there's no real isur. It's not machalas asur. There's isur and rabbanon in some circumstances. That's the Gemara in Ksubas Tav Samach. So the Rashba says on that Gemara, that this is another Rashba. The Rashba says on that Gemara that from the fact that the dam and the cholov are both mutter, that means that the basar is mutter. The because the rule is a yaitse min atame tame, yaitse min atahar tahar. If here the yaitse is tahar, that means that the guf is tahar. Now what does that mean? You know, halacha lemaisa, it's not negeya because people aren't in the custom of eating such things. But he's saying, but officially there's no iser. It's just conventional that we don't. But officially there's no iser.
Without
shechita, even there is a chumrah based on the Gemara and Megillah. Rabba shechted up there. That was a chumrah. You're allowed. You don't have to shech. With your chavrusa, you can do without shechita.
Teichocha, we talk about women eating there.
Right. So that means it's not. You know, it's not natural. It's not conventional. But there isn't. I'll tell you in a moment in Afkamina, where this a tshuva. That where this became in Negei Halachal Ma'is. But first, let me just complete that discussion.
If you're in the you have nothing to eat, and there's a dead person.
That's a great right. Shaila. And let's say that, well, if there's nothing at all to eat, so then you get Sukkot Nefoshes, you're allowed to eat for sure. But let's say you're choosing between Isuri, between different, but again, it's extenuating circumstances, a real, you know, you're dying of hunger, and there's an animal that's not shechted, and there's also, right, so in such circumstances, these Shailas would be Negeya. The Rashba's opinion is that there's no Isser, there's no real official Isser. There's two other opinions. The Rambam says that although there's no Isser Lav, it's not considered a behemoth Tameya, but there is an Isser Asay. It's a little surprising that he says that because the Gemara never makes this drasha anywhere. But the Rambam seemingly makes up a drasha, and he says that since the Pasuk says, Zeitz ha-behema asher techeilu, Zeitz v'lo yacheres, that, and that teaches me, Adam is Aser. So that's a second opinion. And then there's a Ra'ah, this is a little bit of a more obscure shita, but we have a Chidushei Ra'ah on Masechus Ksubas, and on that Gemara, Ksubas Daf Samach, where the Rashba said, I see from this Gemara, there's no Isser Lav. He said, on the contrary, I see from this Gemara, there is an Isser Lav. Why? How did he figure that? Again, the Gemara says that the Cholav and the Dam is Mutter. So the Rashba said, well, since we know the rule is, Hayyitzim and Atame, Tame, Hayyitzim and Atar, Tar, so if the Cholav and the Dam are Mutter, that means that the Guf is Mutter. The Ra'ah said just the opposite. The Gemara says the Cholav and the Dam are Mutter because they learn from a Pasuk. Sorry, the Gemara brings a Pasuk where it said there's an extra word, Hu, by the Gomel, and that teaches me that the Dam HaHalchishtayim is Mutter and the Cholav HaHalchishtayim is Mutter. If it was considered a Behemoth Tahira, then why would I need a pasuk to be mounted to the Cholav and the Dam? You see from there that really is considered a behema tameya because it doesn't chew its cud, and you know biologically it's a behema tameya. And he says that you only run a lav by eating the basar of Adam. So you have this range, three machlekes range of shitas. You have the Ra'ah who says there's actually an isur lav. The Rambam says there isn't an isur lav, but there's an isur asay. And the Rashba who says the Ramban says that there's really no isur at all. The Rashba. And the Ramban
is not to do what?
To eat the basar of an Adam. Now, the so again, where could this be negeya? Okay, Danny mentioned an example. If it's extenuating circumstances and a person to save his life has to choose one basar or another, there's actually a more relevant. I mean, once upon a time was more relevant. There was a minhag. This is brought down in the Shas Hashuvas HaRashbash. He was asked about this minhag. He lived, I think, in North Africa in the 1400s. There was a minhag that after Bris Milah, so what do you do with the Arla after Bris Milah? There was a minhag that a woman that didn't have children, that was having trouble having a baby, would eat the Arla as a skula for having a baby.
Who
was this? That's right.
Sorry.
It's disgusting.
Okay. So the Shiloh arose. Okay, you know, obviously Culturally, we find this very off-putting, but there was such a minhag. Is there any Isser involved? According to the Rashba, the Ramban, there's no Isser in that. Now, it's interesting, the Rashba and the Ramban, they both add that although there's no Isser als machalas asuris, als behemah tameya, but there is a halacha that a mace is asur b'hana. We learn from Egla Arufa that a mace is asur by any kind of hana. Forget about achil, you can't get any kind of hana from a dead body. It's their shava from Egla Arufa. So they speak out that this heter that they're saying is only while it's alive, only while the person is alive. This example with the Arla would fall into that category. This is a piece of skin from a living person. Is it asur b'achila? According to the Rambam, it's just like a pig, because it doesn't chew its cud. According to the Rambam, there'd be an Isser Aseh, and according to the Ramban and the Rashba, it would be Mutter. The halacha we paskin like the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, and Shulchan Aruch, the Ayin Tes, paskins like the Rambam, that there is an Isser Aseh. But the Isser Aseh, again, our angle, this was a little bit of a tangent, our angle was more was about the Cholav. The Cholav is Mutter. And the Rambam, so that's why the Ramban and the Rashba, they said, I see from there that really makers in the Basar itself is mutter because the Chalav follows the Basar, Yetzim and Atar Tar. The Rambam will say that that rule about Yetzim and Atar Tar is totally on the Loisaset, since there's no Loisaset over here, so the Chalav and the Dam are mutter. But this much is clear, that the Chalav of Aisha is mutter. Coming back to our starting point.
So if someone has an amputation, is that logic? It's mutter to eat that?
Evan Menachai.
No, he's alive.
Why Evan Menachai?
No, we have a
minute.
No, but you're not. They going buried that. They had to cut off his arm because of medical reasons. Right?
If I'm not mistaken, we're kfura on such things.
Why?
I think we're naik kfura.
Why?
So when the person dies, he's buried all.
When Naya Kvura, I understand. I think in this context, in this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, is there an Israel? Is it Machalas Asurais?
Okay,
right, it's not Machalas Asurais.
Wow.
Not Machalas Asurais. He's really
hungry.
I'm not hungry now. Yeah. It's not Machalas Asurais. I think there's a mitzvah Kvura. That there is.
And why not on the Arla?
Oh, that's a good question.
Maybe it's like
hair. Yeah, we never bury. I don't know exactly what the gedra is, but we don't bury nails and hair and even skin of somebody. You know, I don't know exactly what the gedra is, but something major is chayav and kfura. If it's a, I don't know. Obviously, that obviously you need more of a gedra to that.
A limb is an aver maybe.
What?
Don't the melon bury that?
Somehow. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that where the minute of biting off the pitum and the esher comes from?
There is such a minhag also for I think that's for Ishamu Beres.
Oh.
Yeah, there's some Edais.
No, you got to that.
Barely, you know the school is.
Only after Sukkot, though. Not before Sukkot.
Not before Sukkot.
Shmini Atzeres. You can do it, Shmini Atzeres. Okay. All right. So coming back to this Rashba in Yevamis, again, well, this was all a little bit of a tangent, sugging Ksubistav Samach, but the Rashba's angle in Yevamis is that say whatever you want about an Isha, is it considered, should her chalav be mutter or usser? Again, we know the halach is that it's mutter because the Rashba's opinion is because the goof of the person is mutter. But even if you want to take the position that it's usser, but this I don't understand, that there could be a difference between a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish woman. We're talking about species here. Right? Is it a behemah tameya, behemah tahira, to consider this a yetzim and atam, a yetzim and atar? In that, there can't be a distinction between a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish woman. So the
Rashba, why is the milk mutter if it's usser?
You mean according to the Ra'ah?
The
Ra'ah, who says that it's us with a Leisasa, says that the reason why it's mutter is because there's a special pasuk coming to be matured. And that's how he learned that it's really, the goof is us with a Leisasa, because he says that's the only reason you should need a pasuk to be matured the Chalav. But the Rashba says that when we're talking about, again, from Aisha Nachres. That's what was mentioned in the Gemara in Yavamas. And I said, oh, I see from here that there's such an isser. The Rashi says, how can there be such an isser? What would make her milk not kosher? The milk is human milk. It's the same milk as the milk of a Jewish woman. The only thing that can make milk not kosher is if you consider the woman to be not kosher. Maybe you could have a debate about that. Again, the Rashi's opinion is that she is kosher. But even if you could have a debate about that, but there certainly can't be a distinction between a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish woman. And therefore, he says this position is untenable. He paskins that it's that the chalav of a nachres is really mutter, just with the caveat that you do it. And again, he has a raya from the story with Moshe Rabbeinu that it was only because of Pesha Asl Davar Mashchina. That's the only reason why he didn't. But otherwise, he would have. So you see that it's mutter, just with the caveat that there is this maila. You see from that story about Moshe Rabbeinu that there is a maila in not, and so in La Halacha in Shulchan Aruch and Simon Pei Aleph. That's the way that we paskin. That me'ikar din it's mutter. Again, once upon a time, this was a very relevant discussion. Are you allowed to hire a non-Jewish wet nurse? And the Shulchan Aruch paskin is that it's mutter, but there's a midas chasidus to avoid it. Like we found in the Gemara in Saita, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't. So there's a midas chasidus to avoid it, but me'ikar din it's really mutter.
And Dam would be the same thing?
The halach of Dam, you mean about Jewish versus non-Jewish, right? I think the same thing. Whatever we said before, but that's not going to be negay, right? Because we said that the dam is usher once it's pirish.
Right.
It's only mutter when it's loy pirish, and that's only could be your own dam.
Isn't there some sort of separate chashash that they might kill the kid or something?
Yes, yeah. There is a gemara in Avodah Zarah that discusses that, and that's part of the issue. But putting that aside. Yeah, I think Maran of Zara has a lot of things that we say that you're not supposed to do with, you're not supposed to entrust a guy with. But there are heterim for that, right? Like Robert said, right? The Gemara says about a barber also, but we have what to be say macham for that.
For Jews watching it.
Also. Right. So there are workarounds. So it's interesting. I think Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's Ha'ara. The Shulchan Aruch brings down that the Midas Chasidus not to. Why? Based on this Gemara in Saita. This Gemara said, Pesha Asl Davar Mashchina. For Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't appropriate because he's Asl Davar Mashchina. Every little Jewish boy and girl is not Asl Davar Mashchina. And yet, because of that Gemara,
they daven, don't they?
Oh, okay, right. And Echanami, you could say, because we daven, that's called Asl Davar Mashchina. And the way he put it, I think, was a little bit different. He said, maybe Echanami, you know, your boy is not going to do what Moshe Rabbeinu did. But if I see from that story that there's a maila, that for some minutes, Asl Davar Mashchina, there's a maila, it's a higher level of Kedusha that for Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have been appropriate. So when it comes to chinuch of my children, only the best will do. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, I learned from this Shulchan Aruch. That if there's something that can make him a higher level of Kedusha, even if that level is really only going to be given for people like Moshe Rabbeinu, I want my son to have that level. It says the Shulchan Aruch. There's a midas chasidus not to allow the isha nachris to nurse your child. It's interesting. This midas chasidus, it's mentioned in the Rashba and the Ritva. The Rashba and the Ritva on that Gemara in Yavam is Kuf Yudala. They both have a similar struggle. They both bring down their Arminach. And Anil said that it's really Asur. And they bring a Raya from the Gemara and say that it's not really Asur. And they say it's just there's a midas chasidus. But then the way they explain the Midas Chasidus is different. The Rashba says that the reason for the Midas Chasidus is because the Midas of the mother are transmitted through the milk. I assume he means in some kind of schooledic way that the bond that you have by nursing from a woman is a very close bond, a very strong bond. And since Bnei Yisrael are Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomle Chasadim, and Avdei Kachavim are not made like that, so you don't want your child getting this kind of a close kesher that really, you know, has a transmission from the mother to the baby from someone who doesn't have the midas of a yid. His emphasis is on the midas. That's the way the Rashba says it. Okay. The Rashba, Yavam is Kufidalek. The Ritva, when he has more or less the same piece, the same discussion, but the way he brings out the segula dika inyan, he says it's actually because of the diet. He says, since the Ovid Avedis Kachavim eats Shkatzim Vermasim, the Avedis Shrevis Shkatzim Vermasim, she's eating non-kosher food, so you don't want that going into your baby's mouth. Mm. Even though, obviously, it's not really going into your baby's mouth, but, you know, even this residual effect of the non-kosher food, the rest apparently wasn't kosher. He didn't say anything about the food, about the diet. But the Ritva says that out the diet, there's also a reason to refrain from having a non-Jewish woman nursing your child. It's interesting that, you know, this. I think there's some debate among pediatricians. I think there's actually been a little bit of a shift in the last couple of decades about how, to what extent the mother's diet affects the milk. But again, allergies. Could a baby have an allergic reaction to breast milk? So if I'm not mistaken, it used to be more, I think there used to be more pediatricians that said that that's just ridiculous. There's no food. And the milk doesn't come from the digestive system. It really comes from the circulatory system. And yeah, there are proteins there that come from the food that she ate that were totally broken down in her own digestive system before they got put into the circulatory system. And then from there, it goes into producing the milk. And there, you know, if she was eating chicken or milk or eggs, there's no shaykhis to the milk or the eggs or whatever in the milk by the time the baby gets it.
They do tell mothers not to eat spicy things or stuff that it does bother the baby.
So when you say they, do you mean when your wife was nursing a baby, or you're talking about your children?
Now, yeah.
No. Meaning your children say that they hear it from their pediatricians. I'm curious to know whether you heard it from your pediatrician. Because I'm under the impression that this has changed. That nowadays, nowadays pediatricians are much more open to this possibility, to this chiddush of the Ritva, that the mother's diet goes into the milk, that there is an effect in the milk. And they, I mean, again, allergies, they say that if your child is, you know, if the baby seems unhappy, so try eliminating milk or eggs from your diet, from the mother's diet, and see if the child will get better. I think 20, 25 years ago, the dominant position was that that's ridiculous. There's some debate about it. Anyway, it might be Machalikas Rashba and the Ritva, because the Rashba says that the Midas Chasidus to avoid the Isha Nachas is because of her Midas. The Ritva says because of the Machalikas Asuris. Not that it has a din of Machalikas Asuris, but there's some residual effect of the Machalikas Asuris. In Shulchan Aruch, they're both brought down. It seems that, right, that's what he's concerned about. There's some kind of effect, even though it's not really halachic, but right, in Shulchan Aruch, it brings down both. What do I mean it brings down both? It says that Mishum Midas Chasidus, you shouldn't give your baby to a non-Jewish woman to nurse, and if you're nursing, you shouldn't eat Machalas Asureis. That last line is for the Ritva. I mean, the first line covers the Rashba. And that last line, that if you're nursing, you shouldn't eat Machalas Asuris, that's for the Ritva. But now, what does that mean? It says in Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya that if you're nursing, you shouldn't eat Machalas Asuris. Okay, what about me? I'm not nursing. Am I allowed to eat Machalas Asuris? You're never allowed to eat Machalas Asuris. So what does that mean if you're nursing and not allowed to eat Machalas Asuris? So the Shach explains that what he means is that, you know, I don't eat Machalas Asuris. But if I become a Chel Sheish with the Kana, and I need to eat Machalas Asuris, so then I'm allowed to eat Machalas Asuris. If a nursing woman is a Chalish Yesh Vesakana and she needs to eat Machalas Asuris, then what that line in Shulchan Aruch is saying is she should stop nursing. If she has to eat Machalas Asuris, she should stop nursing. It's not mandatory, Mishum Midas Chasidus. But it's the second version of the Midas Chasidus. Meaning, if the Midas Chasidus is the way the Rashba said it, that's because of the Midas of a Goy. So if a Jewish woman, Rachman al Tzlan, she has to eat Machalas Asuris to stay healthy, that doesn't give her that doesn't take away from her by Shan Rachman Gamal Chasadim. But the Ritva's explanation that you don't want the baby getting the residual effect of the Nevelos HaShreifas, so then if a Jewish woman has to eat Nevelos HaShreifas, she should stop nursing. So that's brought down all in Simon Pei Aleph, that we're chashish for both of these reasons. Again, Mishum Midas Chasidus.
She has to eat on Kippur, she should also stop nursing?
No, I don't think so. And it definitely doesn't say that. And I think that's not Machalas Asuris. So it's interesting. The That's right. That there is this distinction. That's actually where I was going to go next. There's an idea that we find in Tosfos in a number of places where Tosfos makes this distinction between machalas asurais and other aveirais. The Gemara said, there's a Gemara in Gittin where it talks about how one time in the house of Rav Hanina ben Gamliel, there was some kind of a mishap in the kitchen, and the food that they were supposed to serve at the banquet was ruined and they didn't have, and they needed to get other meat, and they didn't have time. And what exactly they did, you know, the general rule is you never want to know what goes on in the kitchen. So I don't know exactly what they did, but they brought to the table Eber Menachai. They brought to the table Eber Menachai. They were afraid that if they didn't have food to serve, they were going to get yelled at, and the food that was kosher was no good, and they had to get something out fast. So they brought out Eber Menachai. And the Gemara says that the Tana of Chanina ben Gamliel, who was presiding at that banquet, ate Eber Menachai. And then the Gemara says, no, that can't be. Hashta behemdan shel tzaddikim, mina HaKadosh Baruch Hu mivit hakol al yadim tzaddikim atzmon like kol shekein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't even let the donkey of Pinchas ben Yair eat machalas asurais. There was a story where he was in somebody else's hands and he wouldn't eat the tevel or even the demai. So it can't be that Rav Chanina ben Gamliel ate Eber Menachai. So the Gemara amends the story. He almost ate it. He almost ate Eber Menachai. That's the story. But the Gemara seems to take as a rule that it can't be that a tzaddik would eat machalas asurais. There's a similar Gemara. The Gemara says it in a few places. In Chulin, the Gemara says it about a shechita that's not kosher. It can't be that a tzaddik would eat from it. Tosfos, the Gemara says it in a few places. And each time the Gemara says it, Tosfos, it's a very interesting Tosfos. Tosfos asks, what? We're showing, I'm sorry, tzaddikim can never do an aveira? What about here, here, and here? I know tzaddikim that did aveiris. So he tells the story. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Beis. And the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to read on Shabbos L'Ar HaNer, L'Ikra L'Ar HaNer. Shemayata. And the Gemara brings a story that Rabbi Shmuel, the Hilkatan Rabbi Shmuel, said, Ani Ekra V'Layata. That I'm not afraid that I'm going to be Mata the Ner. And then there's two versions of the story in the Gemara. There's two versions of the story. According to one version, he almost was mate, but according to the second version, no, he was mate, and he became chayav b'chatos. The Beis Hamikdash wasn't standing anymore, so he had to write there. He wrote down that kishi yibana Beis Hamikdash avi chatos shmeina. That I'm going to bring a kerm chatos. Why wasn't Rabbi Shimon ben Elisha protected from this aver of Chil Shabbos? So it's a bigger aveira than Nevela or Eber Menachai. And then there's a Gemara, even scarier Gemara, Makis Daf Hei. Gemara over there says, Edom Zaymim, you don't need that their conspiracy actually was carried out to its completion for them to be chayiv. As a matter of fact, we say on the contrary, if it was actually carried out, then they're potter, right? Kasher Zaman, Balei Kasher Asa. So if two Edim conspired to get someone killed, we paskin that if he was actually killed, then they're potter. But if he wasn't killed yet, he was just Nigmar Dinoi to be killed, then they're Chayav. Now, as you can imagine, the Tzedukim didn't agree with this drasha, and they said that he would only be killed if it was already, if the Edim Zaman would only be killed if their victim had been killed. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai once had a story come in front of him that two Edim were Mayan and somebody who was, they did an Avelot, so he was Michal Shabbos, and then one of them became a Zoymim because two Edim came and said that he was Immanuel Yisab Malakam Pliny. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai paskin that this person should be killed. Again, what happened over there was that even though the Nidoin had not been put to death, they just conspired to have him killed, but then when he became a Zaymim, Rehudim and Tabak correctly read that's the halacha, that we paskin, that Kasher Zomam. Kasher Zomam is enough, so, and it was a Kasher Zomam, so he had him put to death. And he even says that he was so excited that I had a chance to carry out this psak and Lahitzim Levin Shalat Tzedukim, But he made one little mistake. Shimon Shadach came and told him that you're right about the part of Kasher Zom, but there's a different detail that we only consider them Edom Zemim if both of them became Zemim, actually Yizumu Shneim. And here the story was that two Edom came and said that one of those two Edom in the first cat was Immanuel Yisrael Malkam Pliny, so you weren't supposed to kill him. So, and the Gemara says, how Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabbai was so distraught, says two things. First of all, he accepted upon himself that he's never going to paskin anymore unless Shimon ben Shetach was nearby to save him from errors. And secondly, that for the rest of his life, he went to be mispalled by the kever of that person that he killed. Now, keep in mind, now that person was a Rasha. He was right about that. He was a real Rasha. He was a real Eid Zaymin. But because of a technicality, he wasn't supposed to be killed. And the Gemara describes how he used to spend all of his days davening at his kever to get a kapara. The Gemara actually makes it a very dramatic story that they thought that it was haunted because the noise that was coming from that kever was so scary that people thought that it was actually the ghost of the killed person that was wailing like that. And Yehuda ben Tabbai said, no, actually, that's me. And I'm just so distraught. That's why I sound like a ghost. The Gemara, Makas Daf Hey. Jesus asked the question, why was the Yehuda ben Tabbai protected from this mishap of Shvichas Damim? That's as bad as it can get. So we have a Chil Shabbos, you have a Shvichas Damim that Tzadikim were not protected from. So, but they're protected from Nevela, from Eber Melechai. So Jesus says that this principle, that Enekash Baruch Hu, maybe to call all Yadam, is limited to Machalas Asurais. When it's an Isser, Achila, Machalas Asurais, then Enekash Baruch Hu, maybe to call all Yadam. Because there's something particularly repugnant about Machalas Asurais because it goes into the guf. Rabbi Kiyego over there is in the Gilyan Hashatz, he refers to a sefer, the Marie Kash, who added a line to explain this principle of Taisus, that he quote that the Marie Kash says, you are what you eat. If you ever heard that quote anywhere, the Marie Kash, 1500s, he says, you are what you eat. And if you machalas asurais, you become a chefsadi surah. And Hashem Baruch Hu doesn't want the tzaddik's guf to become a chefsadi surah. You do a shvichas damim. Okay, that's a behavior. That's an activity that you did. You did a peshegi. You can do tshuva. They have to do tshuva. But right, I mean, in both those stories, we see they did a lot of tshuva. But the idea of becoming a chefsadi surah, that's from eating machalas asurais. So that's a particular gnai for the tzaddik. And that, therefore, only over there do we find that Hashem Baruch Hu protects them. The Gemara in Megillah also, the Gemara says that when Esther was in the Beis Hanoshim, she got brought with all the other Naris Pesulais, and she was put into the Beis Hanoshim under the care of Haggai, and by Yishaneha Ves Nari Sehel L'Toyiv, Beis Hanoshim. She got special treatment, she got the best of everything. So the Gemara says, what does it mean she got the best of everything? Kodli D'Chaziri Shalachla. That he used to, he said, oh, she should have the best diet. So she got a piece of bacon every day. So Rashi says that, now, and the Gemara doesn't mean that that was meant as a rishus adra, but the Gemara meant that that's great food. You know, who wouldn't want to have such a diet? But that's what Esther was given to eat. She was there for 6 months. So Rashi said that, obviously she wasn't punished because she was an Ainis. She was in prison for 6 months, and that was her diet. So that's all you could eat. So that's what you eat. Taisus argues with Rashi, and Taisus says v'chas Hashem le'achla aisa. The Gemara is just telling the story that's what the Gemara wants to tell us about Haggai's treatment of her, but it doesn't mean that she ate it. Taisus over there is a marach, but what does he mean? How does he know that she didn't eat it? Because Hashem shel tzadik menekadosh baruch maybe they call al yadam over there kodli dechaziri. That's behemah tameya. So on that Taisus says we have this concept of the menekadosh baruch maybe they call al yadam behemah tameya nevela eber menachai. Those are the three places where we do find it. But chil shabbos shvichas damim over there we don't find it because gnai hu letzadik she kanis machalas asuris asayich gufay. That you don't want it's there's something particularly awful about having machalas asuris enter a person's guf, similar to this ritva, that even though there's no aveira in eating from, in nursing from the Isha Naches, but she had nevelas hatrevis shkatsim v'ramasim, you want to stay as far away as possible from anything that has a shaykhas to that because of the effect that it could have on the guf. So Taisus says that we have this, this is the secret behind this concept that we find in Shas, that Hashem Baruch Hu has a special shmira on the tzaddikim that they don't do such an aveira. We find it mentioned in a more halacha l'maisadik discussion. There's a discussion in Rishonim that I think it's one of those very fascinating shailas, and I think we've talked about it in this chabura before. There's the Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Gimel, where it talks about, that's the Gemara that comes up from time to time, that's where it says that Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha, all these Surim, Machal Shabbos for Achel Sheish Bei Sakana, you're allowed to give Machal Asasuris for Achel Sheish Bei Sakana. So Misha Achazoi Bulmas is the way the Mishnah describes this Achel Sheish Bei Sakana. So Machil and Isa, even on Yom Kippur, even Machal Asasuris. But then the Gemara brings a Braisa, which says that you have to be careful about one thing, you don't just do it blindly. You go in order of least severe to more severe. So there's some discussion in the Gemara about various serum, which is more severe, which is less severe. Some of the statements in the Gemara over there would be surprising. It says, Tevel Unavela. Which one do you think would... We have more of an aversion maybe to Nevela. But the Gemara says, no, Tevel is more chamar because they're both alive, but Tevel also has a chiv misa b'dei shemayim, which Nevela does not. So Machil and I say Nevela. Tevel Shvias, also Machil and I say Shvias. And the Gemara clears the shayla, but Tevel versus Chuma, which one is more chamar? The Gemara says, that's debatable. But al kapanim, there's this principle that we always look for the less chamar iser. So the Rishonim discussed a fascinating shayla. What if you have Achel Sheish Bei Sakana, and it's Shabbos. And there is meat. The meat is not kosher. There's nevela in the fridge. We could serve the chel in the nevela. There's also a sheep in the backyard. We could shech the sheep and cook the meat and then serve him basar shchuta. And obviously, the Aveira is much bigger. Chil Shabbos is much bigger than Nevela. Nevela is a pretty small Isser. It's less than Tevel. So Chil Shabbos is a much bigger Aveira. What do you do? So that would seem to be the Musko Rishain, that give them the Nevela. Don't be Chil Shabbos, just give them the Nevela. But the Shail, I think, was first raised by the Ravid. And many Rishain, the Rush talks about it, the Rush brings down how some of his predecessors talked about it, and the Ran talks about it. Many Rishonim say, for a variety of reasons, that we don't shecht the animal, we give him that we do shecht the animal, we're Machal Shabbos, even though that's a bigger Aveira, we're Machal Shabbos rather than serve him Nevela. The most well-known reason for that is the Ran. The Ran says, because to be Machal Shabbos, you do one Maisa, you shecht the animal, and then you're done. And then the eating is all mutter. But if you're going to serve nevela, so every kezayis is another aveira. Maybe it's a smaller aveira, but it's more aveiras. It's going to eat a whole sandwich. It's going to have many aveiras of nevela. So that's many small aveiras is worse than one big aveira. That's the chiddush of the Ran. And in that discussion, one of the Rishonim was the Ur Zeruah. The Ur Zeruah, he was the Rebbe of the Rama Rutenberg, who was the Rebbe of the Rush. So he's one of the Gedolei Poskei Ashkenaz. And the Ur Zeruah said, he agreed with the Ran, la halacha, that you shecht the animal, you machal Shabbos, but his reason is that it's because of this principle of Tais that we were just learning, that machalas asurais are elevated above all other things. Mm-hmm. That you have to avoid at all costs. The effect that it has on the guf, on the person, when he eats machalas asurais, that elevates it beyond other aveiros. And so, if you chil Shabbos, you know, like Rabbi Shmuel was karavihita, but that he didn't have a special shmirah about. For Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, who almost ate Avir Menachai, he had a special shmirah. So you see that there's something worse about machalas asurais even than chil Shabbos. He says, for that reason, we shecht the animal and we don't feed the nevela. We don't want to give this chayla. Now again, you know, we have to, to explain this, we have to keep in mind that whatever you do is not really going to be an aveira. Right, because you have a heter of pikuach nefesh. So what we wanna, but just in cheshbonos of hakala kal tchila, so he says that considering that you're going to be doing what you're doing with a heter, so now you can think about, okay, well, which one will have more of an effect on the person? And since the nevela is going to have more of an effect on the person, so it's better to do the chil Shabbos rather than the nevela. That's a svar of the Ur Zeruah. again, you know, the in Taisa says the Svara in other contexts. He says the Svara about the Shmir that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives. Taisa doesn't say that we apply the Svara halacha l'maisa to actually be Matir Achil Shabbos. That's the Chiddush of the Arzeruah, and I don't know if we would accept that. Again, the Ran passes the same way, but for an entirely different reason. So, you know, Lav Dafka, we would accept this. This Chiddush of the Arzeruah is a very, very big Chiddush. But it's maybe the strongest expression of this principle that we saw first in the Ritva, and then in these Tesisim, that there's something particularly chomer about Machalas Asurais that elevates it beyond other Isurim. This Ran, to come back to that Ran, the Ran who said that it's better to do one big Aveir than many small Aveiris, so that the Tashbates argues on it. Tashbates was the Talmud of the Ran. But he argues with this Ran, and he slugs him off with a very stark kasha. It's hard to answer up this kasha, even though the Ran is always said of, it's a very famous state of the Ran, and Mr. Amshon is a terrorist, the Ran is the Ran. But the Tashbitz has a very stark kasha on this Ran. He says, I was saying over from the Gemara, when it's talking about a Kalakal Tchila, mentions Tevel versus Nevela, mentions Tevel versus Shemitah, then it brings in Tevel versus Truma. Tevel versus Truma, which one is more chamar? And the Gemara has a debate. You could say, on the one hand, that Tevel is more chamer because it's usher for everyone in the world, while Truma is mutter for certain populations. So maybe that makes Tevel more chamer. On the other hand, maybe...
What? It's all tmei today.
Okay, but at least in principle. On the other hand, the Gemara says maybe Truma is more chamer. Trying to remember now, what was the Svara? On the other hand, the Gemara says maybe Truma is more chamer. I don't know, it'll come to me soon. I don't remember. But Al-Kabbalah, the Gemara says that you could see Tevel being more chamer, you could see Truma being more chamer, so there's a debate about which one to do. Back to Tashbates, if you're dealing with it, if your dilemma is, do I feed Tevel or do I feed Truma, that means you have Tevel, and the Shaila is, should I feed it to him like this, or should I be mafresh the Truma, and then feed it to him like that? And when you mafresh the Truma, you mafresh 2% for Truma. So then he's going to eat 50 bites. One is going to be Usser, and the other 49 are going to be Mutter. If you go with plan A of feeding him the Tevel, all 50 bites are going to be Usser. If you are mafresh the Truma, then one bite out of every 50 will be Usser, and the others are all Mutter. And yet, the Gemara doesn't say, feed him the Truma because it's fewer Aveiris. The Gemara says, if Truma is a smaller Isser, then you can feed him the Truma. If Tevel is a smaller Isser, then you have to feed him the Tevel. So isn't that a Raya that we don't care about more Averis, fewer Averis? The Ran had a Svara that feed him do the Chilul Shabbos, even though it's a bigger Avera, but it's fewer Averis. In fact, the Tashbitz is connected to the Gemara, because the Gemara says that even though Truma is going to be fewer Averis, but if it's the bigger Avera, then you don't do that when you do the Tevel. That's a Kasha on the Ran. But once again, there's a consensus among most Rishonim that halacha, what we do is we shech the animal, mm-hmm. and our angle in this year was that the Arzeruah has this very original explanation that the reason is because if you shech the animal, you're doing an aveira that's chutz l'gufay, but if you feed him the nevela, then the aveira is b'seich gufay the gnai hu l'tzadik, like Taisa says that machal asur should come into his guf.
Good.